Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web. We invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Laurette Pruden, PhD, business owner, coach, author, speaker, and her new book is Formerly Corporate, Mindset Shifts for Success in Your Own Business. Laurette reveals tips, hints, and best practices to transition from the corporate world to running your own business. So welcome, Laurette.
Thank you, Stacey. I'm glad to be here.
Well, here's the question. What is formerly corporate? What do you mean by that in the corporate way of thinking?
Well, there's, in my experience, my own experience, and in that of many clients that I've worked with over the last few years who have come out of corporate America, there's a culture there. There's a set of expectations. There's a set of resources. And there's a certain way of getting things done. And it may vary a little bit from corporation to corporation, but basically people know how things work. When you find yourself, as I've been saying, by choice or by chance, out of the corporate fold and into business for yourself, a lot of things are different. So I call them formerly corporate outlooks, and they can really get in people's way.
How does it get in an entrepreneur's way? If you're moving, if you're transitioning from that corporate world into becoming an entrepreneur and working for yourself, what are those things that typically get in the way?
I think one of the things that people trip over the soonest, maybe, is it's kind of an attitude that, and I had it myself, that's why I can really talk about mm-hmm. it, that, you know, I'm an expert in whatever. I know this, and I've been trained, and I've had all this experience, and I have this benefit of these corporate resources, and now I'm in this small, now I'm in business for myself, and my target market are all you small businesses who can't afford all that. So I'm going to bring it to you, the benefit, the blessings of my experience, right? It's that attitude, you know, at a price that you can afford. Well, two or three things are wrong with that approach. And again, this is a painful experience, but now I see other people do it. First of all, the small business owner can smell that coming a mile away. Oh, yeah, here comes another one of those. They're going to, you know, bless me with all their corporate knowledge. And you know what? I don't need it, because it doesn't really apply to the way I have to run my small business. So that's one thing. The other thing, so that's from the customer's perspective, right? You're just telling me I need something that I don't really need. The other thing is the piece that goes at the price that you can afford, because I know you couldn't really afford the big corporate marketing department or whatever, right? But I know all that stuff, so I'm going to give it to you at a price that you can afford. Well, what happens there way too often, from the formerly corporate person's point of view, is that they want to deliver all the stuff that they could deliver from their corporate job, right? But mm-hmm. they don't have the resources to deliver it. And they can't charge enough to be able to get the resources to deliver it. So they do the absolutely wrong thing, right? They overpromise and underdeliver. Or they go broke, because they didn't price it correctly. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. Now, Laurette, do you think that you have to take that knowledge, that service that you want to sell, and then kind of make it into the small business version of that, where you can deliver on what you're promising on a scale that works? And I guess that is part of the formerly corporate way of thinking, that you have to start doing that, changing your product and services to be small business friendly.
Friendly, right? That's the word I was looking for too. Yes, and that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really thinking here because I haven't had that question put to me exactly that way. Here's another example. A marketing company has promised that they're going to do a website or a marketing campaign or a new branding image or, you know, new branding persona or whatever. And they expect that they're going to be able to deliver what they would have delivered to a much bigger client from their much bigger, higher position, right? And they find out that they can't really do that. What I've seen work, I think is required in a situation like that, is that you as the formerly corporate business person and your client, let's say a smaller, you know, client, have to really sit down and put your heads together about what is the real purpose of what you're trying to do. It's like I use the analogy in the book about playing a different game. You know, what is the game that you're playing? And what are the rules of it? It's different. So you have to figure that out, and you need to do that in collaboration with your client and maybe with some other business owners that are resources to you. Right, so that rather than just assume that it has to look like a mini version of a corporate project, what does it look like when it's the, you know, full size version for your client's needs?
Okay.
I'm not sure that's completely clear. But I know what I'm talking about.
Right. Ask me another question. Well, you know, it does make sense what you're discussing. I mean, it may not be, you know, the small business version of what you would be used to or what you know, the services and products and projects that you've done on the corporate side of things may not be as relevant in the small business side. So you are recreating that in the image of what is necessary, what your clients and customer base, what their needs dictate. You are relearning the marketplace, who your target market is, and then adapting them. So it may not look the same, may not be an exact smaller version, but it is getting the same job done. But it might just be a different looking tool. Is that right?
It looks, we're getting close. We'll hone in on this here in a minute, because another way to look at it, and I don't want to get too scientific here because I am a scientist, so, but is in terms of scale, so size and scale, right? So as in engineering, if you're going to take something from the laboratory to the commercial development, right? You have to do it in stages because things don't behave the same. It might work great in the laboratory on a small scale, but when you get to bigger scales, unexpected things happen.
Sure. Okay,
you with me?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think people kind of understand that. What's less clear is when you come the other way. So that's what we're talking about, right? Coming the other way from a big commercial sort of a point of view and application down to things that are really smaller. And and one of my favorite examples I learned from a mentor of mine is about focus groups, right? So I want to try something new, and I want to see if the marketplace is interested in it. So if you're a big company, you're going to go hire a consultant and get focus groups and do all sorts of things. It's going to cost a lot of money and it's going to cost a lot of time. If you're a small business and you decide you want to do something different, you can just do something different and see what happens, right? What both of those size companies are doing, the big one and the little one, they're doing what makes sense for them from a risk perspective. Okay, the big company can't afford to make a change that's going to screw things up, right? They need to do the research and the focus groups and all that other stuff before they roll something out to their, you know, 5,000 franchises all over the world. the small company can't afford the risk of doing all the research.
Mm-hmm.
With me? So, but they can risk, you know, something small, do it for a week and or a month and see if it makes a difference. So they're both managing their risk. So that's a common thread. I mean, it's not like small business is completely different from big business, right? I mean, you still need to sell
right.
something and make a profit.
Yeah.
So they're both managing their risks. It's just that the size of the enterprise influences how you manage that risk.
Well, that definitely paints a clear picture for us, Lorette, and I know that you've given us just a small look into a lot of the information that you provide in the book, so our listeners can learn more about Lorette Pruden, her services, including mastermind teams for small business owners, and the new book, Formerly Corporate, Mindset Shifts for Success in Your Own Business. And you can do that at Lorette's website, formerlycorporate.com. So thank you, Lorette. I appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I really enjoyed it.
This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR and the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a diverse community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy more on JenningsWire.com and discover bloggers that could be perfect for you. Till next time.